Hi, everybody. The Complex PTSD Guy here. I'll start out by saying I'm not a doctor or psychiatrist. I'm just a guy living with complex PTSD, and I'm sharing my own ideas, experiences, and opinions on this podcast. So I went to an event today where I told you guys that my primary abuser might be there, and they might do what is called gaslighting. I told you guys that might happen. So I did go. I went to this event, but it turned out my primary abuser decided not to go. And they do that a lot. They just avoid everybody for the most part. So all of that gaslighting type stuff didn't happen. And it was actually a really nice event. It was a memorial service for somebody who passed away about a month ago. You know, it just took time for the family to kind of get together to be able to take, you know, to get together because this person lived in another state. And so a lot of their primary family lives where I live in a separate state, and trying to get other people from other states together to get together for memorial just took more time than what they thought they were going to have took more time than what they had. Because they were buried in a different state, you know. So anyway, I was around like extended family and extended cousins and people I'd grown up with that I hadn't seen in probably 25 years. And there's something so interesting. And these aren't the people that I grew up around that were part of like that trauma and that what I would almost say is like grew up in a cult. They aren't those people. This is a separate branch I'm talking about here. And it's so interesting because the people I primarily grew up around were those people who were more in the kind of traumatizing, making you feel left out, a little bit of like a bully vibe about them. That's who I actually grew up around more. And they didn't do anything about the trauma I was going through, because I know they saw it. They saw my primary abuser do things to me, and it was just like nothing was ever done about it. And they also just operated in weird ways. The people that were more, they were relatives, but the relatives who were more like in this traumatizing thing that I talked about recently in other episodes, that's who I usually was spending holidays with, doing things like that with. The people I was with today are so very different from those people. And it's so refreshing to see normal people who don't have all these weird cult-like ways about them. They're just normal, happy, fun, confident people. And I was like, man, I wish I had been around them more when I was growing up. I would just rarely be around them for super rare reasons. It was just so nice to just be around, you know, people that I'm related to, and they're not crazy. Like, they're not abusive, and they're not, in a cult, you know, or what people might think as a cult, and they're not rude. Right? These people aren't rude either. They're not like that person I was describing who, like I said, is a relative. That's another side of the family. They're just completely normal and completely nice. And it was so refreshing. And I just thought, if I had been around these people more, maybe I wouldn't have complex PTSD, right? I definitely don't think I would have the trigger of people's behavior not making sense. I don't think I would have that trigger if I had literally been around these people more. I don't think it would have been there. You know, but who knows? You know, things that already happened have happened, and you can't change the past. But it was just an interesting experience, and it was quite nice. And what made it more nice was my primary abuser did not go. So they weren't there to gaslight me or say something embarrassing or try to make me feel embarrassed, right? They weren't there to upstage everything or to screw everything up. And they weren't there to make a scene, because they used to do that a lot too. they used to make a big scene and then blow up and then they'd leave. And then everything was revolved around them making a big scene. So none of that happened. So it was a nice, normal experience. Very refreshing. But I wanted to talk about some things that happened earlier in the day. And then I also wanted to talk about looking back at some rules to live by that I had talked to you guys about. And I wanted to do it with a more confident view. So I told you guys I've been building my resilience and building my confidence. So I want to look back at my points that I had made, because a lot of these points were made while I still was struggling with low self-esteem, although I was trying to look at the best possible way to go about living life. So I want to look back at these rules now that my view is a little bit different. I had a little bit of a weird day before I went to the memorial that I'll point out. And I know why. And it's so important to know why, because it could have created major mind fog or stress or lack of focus. But whenever I sat down and thought, you know, where is this coming from? Why am I feeling this way? It helped me to realize where it was coming from. So my television, I've been having some issues with it and my cable box, and some technicians came over yesterday and I thought everything was fixed. It turns out it's not fixed, because it might be my TV that is the actual issue. So I might have to get a new TV or change my bedroom TV for my living room TV and get rid of my living room TV. So tech things I'm not good at, technical things like that. Things that are out of the blue are things that tend to trigger my feelings of incompetence, and they're just not good. Whenever it's out of the blue and it's something that affects your daily life, like your ability to turn on your television and watch TV, because it's something I do every day. I turn my TV on every day, right? And so when it's not working, and I think it's fixed and it's not, and I don't know really how to fix it, and I have to wait for a technician to come and do it, it's just annoying, and it kind of just throws off your routine. And I also was going to be out of town today for this memorial I talked about, and that's out of the ordinary too, right? And I didn't know how it was going to go or what it would be like. It was great. It was a really great time, and I felt like I bonded with relatives who are normal, which was so refreshing, because it doesn't happen that much. And the other thing was so things that are out of the ordinary. There were just a few things that I needed to do related to financial type things. And there was also some things that I received, some information I received about a personal matter just related to myself, that wasn't necessarily something I wanted to receive. And I don't quite know what it means yet. I have to ask somebody about it. But it's just a letter I got in the mail about something. And so I had things happening out of the ordinary. These things don't normally ever happen. My TV is usually always working. I normally just sort of chill out on Saturdays, because today I didn't have to work. I work every other Saturday. And so I wasn't doing that. And, you know, I received something in the mail that is out of the ordinary. It's not something, and it's something I have to address. It's like a serious matter. And so I had all these things kind of happening at one time. And it's so important to know when things like that are happening, because if you have complex PTSD, you need to know what your trigger is, and you need to know what particular things are stressing you out more than other things. So these are all sort of things that tend to stress me out quite a bit, particularly anything to do with technology that's going to make me feel like I don't know how to solve the problem. You know, it's almost like an engineering problem, a software problem, and I don't know how to deal. I don't know how to do anything about that besides call for help. But I wanted to, you know, once you realize what's actually causing you the stress or the brain fog, it can greatly help to not get stressed out about it. So that's the point of that. And I had told you guys already about the fact that I was going to be around my primary abuser. But like I said, they decided not to go. So there wasn't any gaslighting that went on. And, you know, I wish my upbringing could have always been that way. That would have been nice, right? Because I might not have complex PTSD. So, but the things I wanted to go over really quick, and again, I'm trying to look at this from a more confident view. So looking at things through a new view, a new set of eyes. So my rules to live by is what I called it. And I have four rules here. And then I also have four things to keep in your view. And I'm going to just go over these really quick. And I'm going to kind of critique myself here. So number one, the main goal of being in a relationship with someone is because you want to spend and share your time with them based on your mutual interest, and that should go both ways. I would say, yes, I agree with that. However, like I said in the last podcast, let's say that you're doing things based on insecurity, and let's say you have a mutual interest with somebody, but the fact that it's a mutual interest is something you're doing out of vanity. So, you know, I described those two people in one of my recent episodes where they're actually insecure, but they're coming across as rude and having everything together and looking a certain way, right? And that can probably make some people envious because they have all these things, right, that just look so great. But if they're doing everything based off their insecurity, they're doing things for maybe greed or vanity or keep, you know, putting upon airs or whatever you call it, it's not really who they are. So I would almost critique myself here and say, and not even put in there, so the main goal of being in a relationship with someone is because you want to spend and share your time with them. I probably wouldn't add in based on your mutual interest. I might have to rewrite that and say based on your genuine mutual interests that bring you happiness. So that's how I'd probably rewrite that, knowing what I know now. Because just because two people have mutual interest, someone could have that interest out of vanity and insecurity. And you don't want to be with somebody if their interest is based on that, right? Another point in there I put, don't seek out a rescuer. I would say that's true. I wouldn't seek out somebody just to rescue you. So I'd say that's true. Also, don't seek someone out for lust or looks or money. This also only creates a feeling of desperation and that you aren't getting in life what you feel you are deserved. Feeling of being wronged in life. So, yeah, if you're seeking someone out for lust or looks or money, it does create a state of desperation because it's like you're wanting them for that rather than wanting them for who they are. So I would say all that is pretty much true. And again, that goes back to low self-esteem. If you're looking for maybe a rescuer or someone for looks or lust or money, it is desperation. And I would say that's absolutely coming from low self-esteem. But see, I don't think I knew that before. I didn't know that that's coming from low self-esteem. And then my second point was wish the best for those who are jerks to you or they wrong you. I would say absolutely, but looking at this with a more confident viewpoint, I would almost reword that and say, so rather than saying wish the best for those who are jerks to you or wrong you, I would say, I would also put in there, know that it has nothing to do with you. This is just their own weird behavior, right? So I also added in here, don't hold resentments or wish harm on others. That's true. And see, if you have low self-esteem and you think the world is out to get you, this is totally a mindset that you would have. It's a mindset I definitely have had before. And if you're confident, I don't think you're going to hold a resentment. If you're confident, you're going to figure out what the problem is and not be around these people again. Holding on to anger or grudge only hurts you and makes you bitter and likely to complain and be negative, stresses you out. And that would be that curiousness, which is griping. And griping is a sign of unhappiness. So yeah, we don't want to be unhappy. My third point was don't engage in gossip. So spilling the beans, which I've talked about recently. Don't engage in gossip and don't engage with online sites that gossip or are negative and toxic. Gossiping leads to fight or flight because it eventually creates drama and leads to others not trusting you and being mad at you. It's just a waste of time. So, yeah, I would say that's true as well. I would also say if you're more confident, you're not going to do that. You're not going to have any need to talk about other people's business because you're going to be engaging in your own hobbies and you're going to have plenty of your own things to share with people. And you're not going to do something that's going to maybe hurt somebody's feelings because you'll be more respectful, because it's bad manners to do that. It's bad manners to gossip. And bad manners are just a big, big sign of what you don't want to do. And my fourth point was plan for the tough times that are a part of life. And this almost feels separate. This almost feels like something separate from all these other things. The first three things almost feel more like interpersonal type things. Whereas planning for the tough times, that's more of just a financial planning thing. So I have done that with my 401k. And I would say I would add in there, ask for help when it comes to planning for the future and planning for the tough times. And just be nice to people, because the better reputation you have with other people, the more likely you're going to be able to have people help you. And they might need your help and you can help them. So always keep, don't burn bridges and be nice to people. Have good relationships. And a lot of that comes out of confidence, right? If you had low self-esteem, you might just want to hide or isolate, or you might be rude and defensive towards people, like you get mad or you're sensitive. So the more confidence you can build, the more likely you'll have better relations with people. Good relations with people is a big part of planning for the tough times that are a part of life. So I would add that into that. I also added in here, there's no such thing as job security. It's a myth that only leads to overthinking and stress. So again, saving up money is better than thinking your job will be around forever. And then I also put sobriety is also a big part of this, because you'll need to rely on others and they will need to rely on you. And they probably won't trust you if you're a drunk, right? They might just think you're going to go spend all the money, or you're going to not be able to show up because you're drunk, or I don't know, blah, blah, blah. So, and then I had four things to keep in view, and I'm going to try to keep these short so I don't like my podcast to be over 20 minutes. Things to keep in view: your exercise equipment, logic games, word puzzles, nature, getting out into nature, or keeping things in your home like plants or whatever. And a calendar, your weekly calendar, to keep yourself organized. So I would also put things to keep in your view, your hobbies. So I don't have that on here. I have workout equipment, and that helps you with your physical body and your physical brain to help with maybe anxiety and depression. And I have word games to help you with focus. And I have nature to remind you to engage with mindfulness and get out more, get outdoors more. And then calendars for keeping yourself organized. But and if you're not organized, you can have brain fog. But I would say hobbies. So now that I just see things a little differently now, I would absolutely write, keep your hobbies in view. So like for me, I've talked about maybe getting back into coin collecting. Another one would be maybe some poetry. And I'm going to do a separate episode pretty soon about poetry and the play that I wrote, because I want to talk about how I got into both of those out of when I was really struggling with major depression and low self-esteem. And I want to talk about those two things specifically, how I don't know that writing is actually a hobby for me. And I want to discuss what I think it actually is. Same for poetry. But coin collecting. There was something else that I'd recently, going to like a golf range, I think could be a hobby, you know, just to hit golf balls. It was just something fun, or like building a model airplane, whatever. I mean, there's a million hobbies I listed about a month ago or a few weeks ago, but hobbies are a huge thing you want to keep out in view, because that's how you're going to build your confidence. Engage with something that brings you happiness that you can just talk about. So, I wanted to share some of that, and that's what I would add to this list is hobbies. But I'm going to talk about in my next episode some key things that I just view differently now that I'm feeling more confident. And I want to talk about the very specific things about that. So this is the Complex PTSD guy signing off.